when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello out there, everybody. We're going to have a wonderful show for you tonight, I guarantee you. Today, it is in the year of our Lord, May the 9th of 2020. And it's kind of a special weekend, as you people might know. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. And since we're not on the air on Sunday, I'm going to go ahead and wish all you mothers out there a great Mother's Day. My mother is no longer around for me to wish her Mother's Day. She's deceased, but wherever she is, and she's in heaven, I'm sure she can probably hear me say, "Well, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, Brenda, and to all you mothers out there, all my friends. It's a very special day. You know, there's no adage I've heard, and I think this is true, but I have two daughters, so I can say it. You know, a son is a son until he takes a wife, but a daughter is a daughter for the rest of her life. And I'll tell my grandson and other kids I know, I don't idolize my grandson, but I just love him as much as you could possibly love anything or anybody. But, you know, I tell him, I said, son, you know, your mother brought you in the world. There's no friend on earth that you have that will ever be greater than your mother. Papaw, that's what he's the first one to call me, Papaw. Papaw would die for you. I have fought for you. And I have fought for my grandson. That's another story, even against my own son-in-law. But anyway, happy Mother's Day again, people. And I mean that from the heart. Also, even though this is Mother's Day, I'd like to dedicate this show, day of my life. I'd like to honor some people. My wonderful Uncle McKinley, who's still alive. He's my dad's youngest brother. My dad was a good man. I'm a pretty good man, but me and my dad both combined, I don't think we could, couldn't carry the water for my Uncle McKinley. He's probably the greatest man I've ever known. I'd also like to dedicate this show to my best friend right now, Buddy in Arkansas. Buddy is the last of a dying breed. I wish you people could have the privilege of knowing Buddy like I do. I'd also like to throw my friendship out there. I'd like to salute my good friend, Gene Andrews. And I can tell you there's very few people left in the world I really respect. Maybe I've become too calloused and too hard over the many battles from my childhood going all the way back to 1958. Growing up in a 90% black area, but I tell people I almost hate what I've become because I've become so hard and so calloused. Even though I do run marathons for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, that's another rabbit trail, people. I didn't even mean to go down that rabbit trail, but let me give you a quick prayer. You know the drill. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to tell y'all the exciting show we're going to have tonight. So if you will, people, please bow your heads. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jesus Christ, the God that rose Jesus Christ from the grave on the third day, the God of Eddie Miller, the God of my household, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, the God of all the friends that I have. Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank you for this day of life. Thank you for letting me do what I do. Thank you for letting me leave the intensive care unit in 2007 and come to run 16 marathons since I was 65 years old. That's truly a miracle, Lord. Thank you for letting me live this day. And Lord, I would like to ask you, if you will, I would like to ask you to please look over some of my friends that I haven't even known, specifically some of the political prisoners, Daniel Borden, Jacob Goodwin, who's in prison. They're in a prison, a strictly political prison, prisoners, and hopefully they'll be out before too long. I'd like to also, Lord, ask you to please stay with the son of Gordon Call. I think his name is Yuri. Yuri Call is still in prison for all these years. He should have been out. He should have never been in prison, but he was persecuted by the great Satan government of religious reasons, and because he didn't want to pay their stinking tax, you know, their illegal, unlawful tax. Anyway, Lord, I'd like to ask you to look out for those people. And, oh, Lord, I ask all these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. People, now I'm going to go back and give you a little headline, a little thing of what we did. I'm going to do something unusual here. I'm really proud of what we do, and we do a lot of work behind the scenes here that you people don't even know about. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to read some show notes. I'm really proud of these show notes, by the way. I think I do good show notes, but I think I'm proud of what Jacob did some good show notes last week. And we work hard with these show notes, believe it or not. And these show notes were done by Jacob. He's not here tonight. He'll be back on in a future date, and so will Matt. Matt's working really hard. He's going to come back in. He'll be doing a project before too much longer, hopefully. But anyway, hour one, this is show notes we put up. When you go look into the archives to listen to a show, it says hosted by Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Jacob Moondog Tyler. By the way, I named him that. I gave him that nickname. I nicknamed everybody. Our guest was Pastor Everett Ramsey. Okay, here's how it goes. Jacob and Pappy welcome Pastor Everett Ramsey to the show for the first time. Pastor Ramsey tells the incredible story of America's first padlock church. He knew a lot about this. He worked all week on researching this. An appalling state of government overreach and corruption and religious persecution predating, I didn't know this, it predated Patriot Acts 1 and 2, Waco and Ruby Ridge, and even the betrayal and murder of Gordon Call, which arguably set the precedent for state-sponsored religious persecution of Christians in America. And we're seeing that right now. It says, Pastor talked about how these events tie in with the current COVID-19 hysteria and about the desperate, here's the key punch, the left hook, and about the desperate need for Christians and pastors in America to overcome their fears and to stand strongly and stand courageously against the growing encroachments and attacks against our liberties in America. He also gave how you can get out. He listed Pastor Ramsey's ministry in his website. He has a website. Jacob listed that. But people, it's true. Everything about these notes right here he spoke about is true. Some of them I didn't know. But like I say, I'm very proud of those show notes. I probably won't ever do that again. But I'm proud of what we do here. I really am. But Jacob did a really good job on that. So and I've told Jacob before, no one reads our show notes. I don't know why I do it. Jacob likes me to do it. Matt likes me to do it. I said, just put in one line's enough. Anyway, when we come back, people, I'm going to finish our outline. I'm going to tell you what we're going to be doing tonight. And so we'll be right back. Hold on to your seats.
Kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we are right back. Thank you for holding on. I'll just announce the date one more time. It is May the 9th. Tomorrow will be Mother's Day in the year, this in the year of our Lord 2020. May the 9th, 2020, tomorrow Mother's Day. Now I'm going to get back, and I'm going to tell you what we did last week. And people, one of the reasons I like to go back and rehash stuff, and you may think that I'm kicking a dead horse or, repeating myself. Well, you know what? I do repeat myself because we work so hard here to produce these shows. I don't like to just do a show and go on and leave it and never return to it. And most of you people are probably like me. I'm just an average IQ. I have a pretty good IQ. It's not the best, not the worst, you know. I've got a couple of college degrees, but I never mention that because, like they say, if you get a master's degree, it's more of the same. If you get a PhD, it's a pile higher and deeper. But anyway, I would just like to say I'm really proud of these shows. And some things we talk about that need to be repeated over and over and over. I used to tell James about this when I used to be a co-host with the Political Cesspool. Said, well, you know, we need to hammer some things in because people like me, I would just mention, I'm just an average Joe, we learn by repetition. Anyway, last week, I'm going to start with the second hour first because the first hour was the one that really impressed me. Dr. Hill and Ike Baker came on. As you well know, Dr. Hill, he's the director of the League of the South, and Ike Baker is the chief of operations. They were on last week, and we're getting ready to have. They announced that at the end of June. Let me get my calendar here. The end of June, that would be the 26th, 27th, and the 28th of June. We're going to have a national conference, the National Conference of the League of the South. I'm going to be speaking down there. They've greatly honored me. They've invited me to come speak, and I'll do the best I can. But the League of the South, in my opinion, I consider them kind of like the Waffen-SS of the so-called, and I don't like the term hard right. They are the hardcore right. They are about the only organization I know of that's worth a crap. The second one that's worth their salt is a Pastor Rob and his family. With the Knights Council over in Arkansas. Those are two. If you want to donate to somebody other than this show, I would highly recommend you give money to those two people because they need it. You know, anyway, we're going to have the conference in the end of June. We didn't talk much about last week about there's going to be a humongous lawsuit at the end of October and early November. And so Blood River's going to be up there. We're going to be up there running kind of like a, you might say a bodyguard. Get this, 5'8", 9" Pappy is going to be running a bodyguard for the 6'7" Dr. Hill and probably 6'10" Michael Tubbs. But I'll tell you what, Dynamite comes in small packages. So we're going to do that. We're also going to do some broadcasting up there. Sam said he's going to let us give updates during the trial while that's going on. So that's I'm letting you know about the, you know, what we're going to be doing then. And we didn't get to talk about that last week. So I'm going to cover that. I want to tell you about that. That's very, very important. If you will, please support the League of the South. They're working their butts off for you. They're taking chances. Anyway, also, the South was telling you about the first hour. And I'm going to cover the first hour. The first hour, we had Pastor Everett Ramsey on. And I just read you the website, from my website, the show notes that Jacob did. I was really proud, really proud of what he did. And I told you all about Waco, about Ruger Ridge, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now I'm going to tell you what's coming up tonight. Monica Schaefer and Bertha Foss are coming on. And we're going to do, in just a few minutes, I got to hurry and wrap this up. They're going to finish. They're going to do installment number 3. This might be the last installment we have to do. By the time we get through this show tonight, we'll have done it about 5 hours of radio on the Holocaust, something I always wanted to do. This is my little diatribe before we go to them. As you can see, the same people. Let me tell you where this folks. The same people that opened the gates at Toledo and Seville in 711 AD that let the Muslim hordes come in and invade the Christian Iberia, the present-day Spain. The same people did that. The same people, the thorns on our side today. They were Jews. They opened the gates. And they allowed the Muslim hordes to conquer that area for a while. Catholic, Christian, Iberia, /Spain. They did that. Not only that, they fought side by side with the Muslim invaders. I've always wondered why the Jews in the United States seem to welcome open borders here in the country and flood us with these non-Christian, these Browns, these Muslims to try to stomp us out, because I've always thought that the Muslims and the Jews were blood enemies. Well, you know what? They're not. You know what? In reality, if you research it, they consider themselves cousins. And if you research the bloodline going back to Abraham, you'll know that Abraham had an illegitimate son. And he turned out to be the father of the illegitimate son, turned out to be father of Muslim race. But anyway, not only did they just open the gates, they fought side by side with the Muslims to conquer the Christians there in Spain. That's why they kicked them the hell out. Also, listen, the same people were the ones with Pontius Pilate that screamed, "Crucify him." And when Pontius Pilate said, "I wash my hands of this, I see no fault in this man." These are the same people I'm talking about, folks. He said, "I don't want his blood on my hands." I'm paraphrasing, of course. They said, you know what they said? They said, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Now, you tell me that's not a curse. And my friends out there, I just talked to one 2 days ago. We debate this all the time. Tell me how in the crap those can be the chosen people. Tell me how they can. There is no way on earth that can happen that way. You know, when they, not only did they fight side by side, those Jewish people that fought with the Muslims, the Muslims left them behind as garrison soldiers to guard the conquered country when they went on to, let me put it this way. The Muslims kept marching after they conquered Seville and Toledo. They went further to conquer. They went marched on to conquer other cities. And they left these Jewish soldiers. They made Jewish soldiers out of them to guard the compounds. Figure that one out. I've always wondered how Jews and Muslims seem to like get along. Well, that's it. They're double first cousins. Okay, fast forward. They're the same people that really instigated our American Civil War. They were the bankers. You know, that's not mentioned a lot. We hear a lot about the Civil War was fought over slavery. And I hear this too. And it's true. It's, you know, that's very little. Some of the guys from the North probably did fight to free the slaves. And I've heard people say, and it's also true, that the South was the cash cow for the North prior to the Civil War. They were the cash cow. The South paid the vast majority of the taxes that kept the country going. Well, yeah, that's true. But without those Jewish bankers inciting the war, it could have never happened. You know, Abraham Lincoln could have never fought that war without money. It takes money to fight wars. In fact, Abraham Lincoln himself said that he had the bankers behind him in his rear, and he had the rebel army in front of him. And he said, and the most dangerous of the two groups were the Jewish bankers. They were exactly. That was the problem. And here's another little effect. And I'm naming these people, folks. I'm trying to go fast forward before the girls get on. I don't know if you know this or not, but these Jewish carpetbaggers existed before the South was defeated. They followed the Union Army the whole time the Civil War was going. And they were the loan sharks of their day dealing with the Yankee soldiers. General Grant, to his credit, kicked their butts out. But you know what? They went above his head to the Secretary of War, you know, in the Secretary of War. Made Grant get back up, take them back in. Also, well, I didn't get to cover World War One, World War Two, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, people, we got to go back. We got to go. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish our Holocaust series. Be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The coronavirus crisis has sent U.S. unemployment surging to 14.7%, a level last seen when the country was in the throes of the Depression and Franklin D. Roosevelt was assuring Americans the only thing to fear was fear itself. And because of government errors and the particular way the Labor Department measures the job market, the true picture might be even worse. By some calculations, the unemployment rate stands as high as 23.6%, not far from the Depression peak of 25%. The Labor Department said that 20.5 million jobs vanished in April, the worst monthly loss in history, triggered by coast-to-coast shutdowns of factories, stores, offices, and other businesses. On Wall Street, stocks actually pushed higher as investors realized the numbers were not quite as bad as originally predicted. This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Some are describing the U.S. economy as the biggest crisis in almost a century, and John Clements is here to report.
Pandemic has created the biggest jobless figure to a post-World War II high of 14.7%, as 20.5 million jobs were lost in the month of April. Larry Kudlow, director of the White House National Economic Council, said there may be a light at the end of the tunnel.
About three-quarters of the job loss were from temporary layoffs. It doesn't lessen the hardship.
The current unemployment rate of 14.7% is being compared to the 3.5% rate only 2 months ago. Over the last 7 weeks since the coronavirus struck, more than 33 million Americans have applied for unemployment.
Tens of thousands of crew members have been trapped for weeks above dozens of cruise ships around the world, long after governments and cruise lines negotiated their passengers' disembarkation. Some have gotten ill and died, and others have survived, but now are no longer getting paid for their jobs. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, welcome right back to the show. We're going to bring this Bert DeVos in just one second. I'm just going to finish. People, we're going to bring Bert DeVos in. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to bring the girls are here, and I'm going to bring them in just one second. I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish, kind of finish up here. And the girls are listening. I was just talking about all the things that the same old enemy has been, what they've done since even before Christ. I went over that. Also, the same enemy that started this horrible Holocaust lie were the same. They were the same people that started World War One, World War Two, Korea, my war, Vietnam. They're the same friggin' people. Now that I'm going to shut up and I'm going to bring the girls in. How are you doing tonight, Miss Bertha Voss?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm quite well, thank you.
How about you, Miss Monica?
I'm very well, and I'd like to just follow up from the prayer that you did at the beginning of your show, and you were praying for political prisoners. And the very subject of today, you know, speaking about this taboo subject of Holocaust or hollow hoax, is what has landed many people in prison, my brother included, and there are others, Ursula Haverbeck, 91 years old, Horst Mahler, Sylvia Stolz, and many who have been in prison and have come out of prison again, but for talking about the very thing that we're going to talk about today. And so I just thought that was a good way of following up on the prayer that you made, and that we pray for those political prisoners that are in for this very subject. It is such a forbidden and dangerous thing that when the truth comes out, when we are living in a world that is structured on lies and deceptions.
Absolutely. And I've just got through reading about the amazing Ursula Haverbeck yesterday. You're absolutely right. I don't know if she's still alive, but she turned 91 in prison just for merely, if I'm not mistaken, Monica, for merely questioning the number of Jews that were supposed to be killed. I mean, it's amazing to me. And also your brother, we need to pray for him too, who's still in prison. And I'm going to butt out right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Monica.
She asked the question to all levels of government, to all Jewish organizations. She spent 5 years writing letters to everybody, asking them the simple question, where did the crime take place? In other words, where did the 6 million Jews get murdered or get killed by the Germans? Where did this take place? And nobody answered her, ever. And so after 5 years of that, repeated letters and repeatedly writing these people, she went on the internet, made a YouTube, and said, if there is no place where this crime takes place, then the crime did not happen. That was the simple gist of what made her become a political prisoner now. So, yeah, that is where it's at. And, you know, what I wanted to start with today, after that brief introduction about this very dangerous topic, is start with Robert Faurisson and the work that he did over the decades. Robert Faurisson was a professor in France I don't remember now which university. He has died now. I think he died in 2018, actually. And he said, let's start from the beginning. He is the first person, actually, to have really gone to the very beginning, or to make the investigation to the physical, the chemical, the topographical, the architectural, and the documentational evidence to either prove that the Holocaust happened or not. So he really, really dug deep into all these things, spent many years researching and going on site, finding, you know, for example, architectural drawings of Auschwitz and topographical maps and whatnot, and searching the, through the documentation and researching what physical and chemical evidence there was. And then he came up with his 60-word sentence. And even in many years later, when he gave talks, he said, I would change not a single word in this 60-word sentence. Now, in French, it comes to 60 words. In English, it's only 56 words. And I'd like to read that sentence to you, if I may. Quote, the alleged Hitlerite gas chambers and the alleged genocide of the Jews form one and the same historical lie, which has permitted a giant political and financial swindle whose main beneficiaries are the State of Israel and international Zionism, and whose main victims are the German people, but not their leaders, and the Palestinian people in their entirety. End of quote. That's his famous 60-word sentence. And for that conclusion, basically, that 60-word sentence, he was persecuted, demonized, dragged through the courts, fined many, many fines, beaten up 10 times. Twice he was left for dead, but he survived. One of those times, a jogger found him, you know, pretty much half dead, and called 911 right away, and he, you know, made it to the hospital. And in the next day, or maybe in the next few days, the newspaper articles about who this man was, Robert Folison, and then this jogger, the person who had rescued him, I think he was Jewish. He said, oh, if I had known who that was, I would have left him to die. You see, so Robert Folison, even though all these persecutions took place against him and he suffered greatly for it, he never, ever wavered because he was meticulous about the truth. Everything he spoke was absolutely backed up. And that's, yeah, so he is really was a giant, and his spirit shall live on forever. You know, we really must thank this giant of a man who did so much for bringing out the truth about the Holocaust. I'll hand it over to somebody else to comment. Bert, did you want to respond?
Ms. Berta, yes. Before we go to you, I'm just going to say, I think it was last week, we said the reason we can see so far is because we stand on the shoulder of giants. Go ahead, Ms. Berta. Would you like to respond to right now?
Yes, because I want to add something to this, because a few days ago, you could read on the UNS.com, an article about a Jewish Israeli historian who found out that in 1944 there was a Zionist Congress or meeting where they decided that there were 6 million deaths. And this was promoted by Mr. Eliezer Ongar, and it ended up also in a small article in Haaretz during that time, but gas chambers were not mentioned. Only this number of 6 million dead Jews. And this was the finding. So obviously this number circulated earlier than 1945, but not gas chambers in this connection.
You know, Berta, we discussed last week, and I don't remember the fellow's name, but I've read it before Monica brought his name up, a fellow who went to Germany, went to Europe, to investigate these sites where the so-called
death camps existed.
And you know what? He also, he designed, he was an expert on, you name your poison, you name death chamber, gas chambers, electrical chairs, hanging. Mm-hmm. He was in charge. He designed the gas chambers and the electric chairs, specifically in California for sure, like in Alcatraz, Sing Sing. The guy mm-hmm. was dead on. And he's the one y'all were talking about, that he was one of the ones that is super expert. He went over thinking, believing in the Holocaust, and came back knowing that it was, discovering it was a lie. What do you think about that, Ms. Baird?
Yes. And they really tried to then destroy Fred Leuchter after he, rather, just in his own words, in...
We have to go to a quick break now, Miss Monica. We'll be right back, girls. Hang on to your seats, people. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
A Bienus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on, and I'd like to just, wish the mothers again one more time. Happy Mother's Day tomorrow. We will not be on the radio tomorrow because we only come on Saturday, but happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. And I'm going to just also chime in one more time, even though I may be repeating myself. You can tie about every difficulty we have facing us to nowadays to the same people that have been in a thorn in the side of Christians from day one. They started World War One. They started World War Two. You know, we mentioned before we go back to the girls, we're just going to say this. Even a long time ago when Gene was on the show, he read an article from a newspaper. I know I said it before, people, but I'm going to say it again until we all get it. The International Jewish Committee in about 1932, 1933, way, 5-6 years before the first gunshot started for World War II, they announced a worldwide boycott on Germany. Because, you know why? Because the Germans kicked those parasitic bankers out of their country. They kicked them the hell out, and they started their own system of currency. And that's how they create, you know, that's how Hitler got the miracle, a miracle overnight, when the Germans were just, where they were just living in luxury, when the rest of the world was like in depression, in the deepest, darkest doldrums of depression. But now I'm going to shut up. I'm going to go back to, I forgot who was talking. Was it you, Monica, that was speaking?
Yeah.
Monica.
I'll carry on. There's a lot of things I want to say, actually. First, about your little comment in your introduction about repetition and repeating yourself. You know, we absolutely must repeat these things. I used to be worried about that myself, and my brother, Alfred, he said, no, Monica, don't worry. You should repeat. Coca-Cola told us a million times that they're the best, and then they told us again. Why? So we have to repeat these things. And besides which, the other side, the exterminationists side, they repeat their story and they embellish it and they keep telling us over and over and over again that 6 million Jews were gassed in World War II and none of it is true, but they tell us anyway. So yeah, we can use repetition and not feel bad about it. And now just, I have to get back to Fred Leuchter and this physical evidence stuff, but since you just mentioned about the boycott against Germany, you know, boycott almost sounds really, really gentle and soft, but it was Judea declaring war against Germany in 1933. And later, I would like to talk about this Samuel Untermeyer and what he, you know, had on radio in the United States, mainstream radio, and in the New York Times, his speech of August 7th, 1933. So that's a few months after Judea declared war against Germany in 1933, might I say again, I'm going to repeat that because that is 6 years before the bombs were dropping, before World War II. You see, so that needs to be really hammered home. But anyway, I'd like to get to that a little bit later, but not get sidetracked too much here, but just please do bring me back to that, this Samuel Untermeyer. It was just an unbelievably inflammatory speech with nothing but lies in it. But to get back to Fred Leuchter, it was not just Fred Leuchter, it was Germar Rudolph, Walter Lüfter, who actually studied the physical, the chemical evidence for, you know, these so-called gas chambers. And they all come up with the conclusions that there were no gas chambers there. I mean, there were the only gas that was used was the Zyklon B, which, first of all, that would be very inappropriate gas to use if you wanted to kill people because it's extremely explosive and very difficult to dispel. And, you know, Rudolf Höss confessed under torture that his workers would remove 2,000 corpses at a time while eating and smoking, and they would go in right away, like 10 minutes after these 2,000 bodies were killed by this very explosive, very dangerous, and difficult to dispel gas, Zyklon B. So that is all nonsense. Of course, his confessions were got under torture, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. But the Zyklon B, what it was used for was to disinfect the clothing and disinfect the people because the lice were carrying typhus, and lice were you know, that was rampant in World War II. I know my mother talked about lice, that everybody had lice in World War II, and they had to all, you know, really take drastic measures, shaving their heads and, you know, scrubbing down. And it was very unpleasant, all the lice. But anyway, lice carried typhus, and typhus was killing a lot of people. And so really the Zyklon B that was used in these camps to disinfect the clothing, that was to save people's lives. It was a work camp. You know, they had to keep the people healthy. Now, in contrast to the physical evidence that people that on the truth-telling side, I mean, people like to call it revisionist. I don't even like that word because it already sounds like we are revising history. No, we're correcting the history. It's the Jews who have revised what actually happened. But anyway, that is the term that people use, the revisionist side. But I'll just say the truth-teller side. There are these several experts who, you know, studied the chemistry and the physical traits and came up with, you know, empty-handed as far as there being gas chambers. And on the other side, the exterminationist side, they have not done anything of the sort. They did not ever have a single expert report on the weapon, the murder weapon. In other words, the gas. Not a single one. So they just imprison people for saying that it didn't happen. You see, that's their weapon. But they don't have any physical evidence for gas chambers. That's how it is. Did you want to respond to that before I carry on with the many other things I'd like to talk about?
Ms. Berta, would you like to respond to that?
I've also, you would like also to mention the second trial for Ernst Dindl, that they had, for example, no single witness turning up again because of that, all these findings.
Exactly. And Berta, that's great. I'm so glad you brought that up because I think we talked a little bit about that in our last show, how there were witnesses in the first of those trials in 1985 in the Toronto trial for Ernst Dindl. And, you know, they never wanted to have witnesses again at any trial. I'm getting a little bit of disturbance here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway,
I hear you fine. I hear you fine.
Good. They were, the eyewitness accounts, they were shredded by cross-examination. They were absolutely shredded. So for them, it was a dreadful experience. Very, very embarrassing. And, you know, the newspapers did write about it. And so you would think, well, this would just blow apart the Holocaust story. Why didn't it blow apart the Holocaust story? Well, I think that's because these same people who create these lies own the newspapers. So even though they tell us bits and pieces of truth, they will headline it in a way that kind of shapes people's opinion already. Or they'll just talk ad nauseum about, you know, this kook, this crazy man, this bad man, Ernst Dindl. And, you know, I mean, I was in my 20s at the time. And for me, I mean, I remember hearing about the Ernst Dindl trials day after day after day. It was background noise for me, though. And because of how they framed it, I didn't really pay attention to the fine print. You see, and that would apply to most other people as well. We got so indoctrinated. Anyway, I really took over there. Sorry, Bert. Go on again.
No problem. In the 80s, I don't know so much, or I don't know Dindl because I was a child and I was not much watching so much TV and so on. I was playing outside. So
that's good.
It was much later when I heard from Ernst Dindl. But during the 2000 years, for example, the people in Belgium were had a work about the king or the rulership of Leopold II in the Congo. And they made also a kind of historical wrap up what really happened, and they came up with 11 million Africans dying for building the railways and, you know, exploiting the Congo. And by doing this, they came up this a discussion
from the Africans, which we know in France, living a lot of Africans, because France had also colonies there, and they said, well, we also want a memorial and we want reparation because of our 11 million deaths.
Miss Berta, we have to go to a break. Mm-hmm. We'll be
no,
people
no,
hang
no,
on
to
your
go on afterwards.
We're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.